and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Stephanie Domingo.
And I'm Tux Lerzel.
And we be drinking and we be swearing.
We sure do.
This is a show where we discuss our feelings on specific topics related to American history, politics, or culture.
Sure is. This is the mini, you know, mini. Like the regular one, but shorter.
So this episode, we're talking about media representation and why it's important to us personally and to the world at large, correct? That's what we're talking about, yes?
Yeah. I mean, especially for like marginalized people.
Yes. Yes.
Not just like how most movies and television are made for straight white people.
Yes.
Cisgendered, you know, et cetera.
Et cetera, yes.
Thin people.
Straight, thin, white, young. Unfortunately, it's how a lot of people learn about marginalized groups through this representation. So when it's a stereotype, it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
It's really powerful, especially for people who really have no contact with these groups. So it's really important is what I'm trying to say. We're done such a disservice, like people of color and people who aren't straight, white, cis, young, white men. I said white twice, didn't I?
It's important.
They're done such a disservice because, you know, we're usually one dimensional, and it's just refreshing to see something that's real represented in media. So for me, growing up, I loved cartoons. I still actually love cartoons. One of my favorite cartoons was The Rugrats.
Oh, yeah.
I was obsessed with Susie Carmichael because she was, like, young and sassy and, like, beautiful and bold and really, like, good.
Yeah.
She, like, stood up to Angelica. Like, she was, like, her foil.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, no, we're not doing that. Like, I'm here to protect these kids. So she was definitely so relatable. And she had this.
I forgot about the Rugrats. Really, I mean, I remember them, but I, like, forgot sort of the dynamics of, like, who was who and what they were doing.
It was just refreshing to see because she had this big family. Like, both of her parents, like, seemed like they just seemed like a normal family.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't trying to represent, like, all of black culture. Like, nothing was about race, really. It was just a black family had moved into the neighborhood and was, like, integrated into the kids' group.
Yeah.
And it was...
I think that that's, like, one of the most important ways that marginalized people can be represented in TV and film and that kind of things is, like, where it's done so nonchalantly that you don't even think about it, that it's just normal that these people exist and are part of your community.
Being black was never the plot line.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, at all. Like, it was never like the black family was there to be like, oh, no, they didn't, you know, snap, snap, snap. Like, they were just regular people living regular lives. And that was incredibly powerful. I wanted to live in that little cartoon where Susie was just like accepted by all these kids and just was living a regular life. I'm like, huh, it is possible. Who knew? So for me, this is something that I'm kind of ashamed of doing, but I kind of have to. When I introduce myself to someone who's a stranger and I'm telling them about my family, when I tell them that I have five sisters, I always caveat that with my parents were trying for boys.
Oh,
because especially if I'm speaking to a white person, they ask me, oh, you guys all have the same father?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It is so, it's upsetting. So
I mean, I'm not surprised by that at all, but it's like,
I know.
Oh my God.
You would never ask a white person this, but it's like, that's the first thing on their mind. Like, clearly, like, I grew up in like public housing somewhere to a single mom, and like, they don't have experience, and all they're going by is what they see in the media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's why Rugrats shows that are real and like multidimensional and just show people living regular lives is so important.
Yeah, yeah.
So important.
Oh, wow.
So I was always just growing up in like a super hyper white area. It was very, I never fit in. I never fit in. I always had to kind of have my defenses up, unfortunately. But I fucking love the Rugrats. It was so good. Susie's mom was really smart and really like, really snappily dressed. She was just like my mom.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, cool. That show was really feminist and really intersectional.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've gone back and watched it.
I haven't watched it since I was, I mean.
I think we need to watch the first, well, we should watch the Meet the Carmichaels episode.
Oh, wow.
It's really, I'll link it in the show notes. It's phenomenal.
Cool. Yeah.
It's so good. And I found it for free. I watched it this morning. I'm like, oh,
wow.
This is even better than I remember.
Man, I wish I had gone, there's a couple things I'm going to talk about, but I wish I had gone back and actually watched. I haven't seen in at least 15 years or more.
Yeah, so that was a big one for me. And Black Panther 2 was huge recently.
Yeah.
Because I love the Marvel franchise. I love superhero movies, even though a lot of people are like, oh, they're not real films. They're fucking fun. Shut up.
They're not for me, but yeah. I understand why people like them. It's not. It's just not my kind of movie.
Yeah, that's valid. That's
it's fair. Not from the 40s, so.
Yeah, that's true. You're like, it's in color.
Yeah. Oh.
It's high definition? Oh, my God. The horror.
Yeah. But I think that, I mean, I'm not a person of color, so I don't really have that experience to speak to, but Betty. My dog is feeling...
She's feeling herself.
Yeah. She was laying here, sitting here quietly all day, and Stephanie walks in the door, and suddenly she's like a maniac and wants all the attention. Anyways, I feel like recently there has been a lot of, like, black media for... made by black people yes. for black people.
Yes.
And that is a relatively new phenomenon.
Yeah. It started in the 90s. Like, the 90s was super, super black.
Yeah.
Martin, Living Single, yes. A Different World, like, all of those, like, spin-off shows were super... Yeah. It's definitely becoming more and more common
yeah.
that people are able to write and tell their own stories.
Yeah.
As it I should be.
In the 90s... I mean, I loved Martin and yeah. Living Color as, like, a weird, awkward, like, chubby white kid in the suburbs. I lived my life.
Yeah.
Especially for In Living Color.
Yeah.
But I think that especially the movies is a more recent thing.
Definitely. Definitely. It's important.
Yeah.
To see yourself reflected on film. And I didn't realize how important it would be because I've watched black media. I've consumed black media my whole life. But
yeah. The Harriet movie that's coming out now.
Oh,
or
yeah.
soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that whole thing about like how they wanted to make Julia it 15 Roberts. Years. Yeah. I'm sure that everyone listening has heard this already. Ugh. But if you haven't. Apparently, the writer of the screenplay for that movie has been trying to get it made for like 15, 20 years and went to a studio exec, and the exec was like, sure, this seems great. We'll make it. We're going to cast Julia Roberts as Harriet Tubman.
Unbelievable.
Because black movies don't make money, so we have to have a big white headliner yes. as the star.
Yeah.
And the writer was like, what? And so Insane. It never got made. And now here it is 15 years later. Finally being made with a black cast.
Yeah, because Black Panther proved that they can make money at the box office. Like, people are starving for these shows and for this representation, and it's not a losing bet anymore. The game has been changed, and I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see all the new movies that come out because of it. So yeah, that's kind of my thing. I'm going to leave it there because I could talk for days and weeks, possibly months, about this topic.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let you talk.
Woo! Yeah, I mean, I would say I have a pretty similar experience, especially sort of focused on the way things started changing in the 90s.
Yeah, definitely the 90s is when it, like, switched.
Yeah. As a young person in the 90s, especially in the early part of the 90s when I was really young, there was not much in the way of gay characters represented in the media at all. And when they were, when yeah. there would be a gay character, they were not really a person. It was like a caricature.
Yes. One-dimensional totally stereotype.
Yeah. And generally the
negative,
the way. Yeah. Negative.
Yeah. That's how they all start out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like, either they would be kind of like older and like a little creepy pervy sort of a thing.
Oh, yes.
Or there would be somebody that was like just there for comic relief that would be like super flamboyant and over yeah. the top and crazy and like, yeah. Wah.
Of course.
And then like the best.
The sidekick.
Yeah. The best you could do is the sidekick.
Yeah.
The GBF, the gay best friend.
Yeah.
Like that was the best.
Yeah.
Possible.
Aspirational.
But, yeah. It was so super one-dimensional. That yeah. person was there for the main character.
Yeah, to support
They didn't
the main
have
character.
Their own life. Nope. They didn't have their own story.
No, their life revolved around the main character.
Exactly. Yeah. But then I was growing up in upstate New York in like corn and cow country, like mm-hmm. in the middle of nowhere. I'm in high school and I didn't have many gay male friends, especially okay. I had some gay female friends, but not really any gay male friends. And I think that it was hard for gay men to be out at that time when the media was portraying gay people as either like totally crazy and over the top or like weird and pervy.
Yeah.
That doesn't really leave a lot of room for somebody that's neither of those things to be their own person. And without growing up in the middle of nowhere, without many gay people around to sort of see as a young person, you have to have someone to sort of like, not a role model really, but like, just to be like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. Just be yourself. Just someone
living their lives, being regular.
Yeah.
And like, just, but being themselves.
And that, I did not have that at all.
Wow. So yeah, that's I guess that's kind of the difference between my story and your story. Like, I always knew that black people weren't these stereotypes because I looked at my family and I'm like, we're just living our lives.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything crazy.
Yeah. And I was raised religious, not like we're not like super religious, but we went to church sometimes and grew up being told that being gay was wrong.
Yeah. Was a sin.
And then the only representation I ever saw was negative.
Mm-hmm.
So then when it came to being in high school, I had kind of a really hard time like deciding who I was going to be as a gay person and like what kind of gay person I was going to be, because I didn't know you could just be yourself.
Yeah. You're I mean? I guess I could start like shopping.
Yeah, and, I know. Well, that's the thing. It's like it's terrible to say. I have to be a drag queen or something. You know what I mean?
I don't want
to
be the creepy one. Yeah. So I guess I'll be the flamboyant
exactly.
one.
Yeah. And I didn't really have any...
so terrible.
I think I went to a pretty large school, so there had to have been other gay men around.
Absolutely.
But I knew of maybe like two or three. And I went to a school big enough that there had to have been like 200 or 300.
Mm-hmm.
But because people at that time didn't really feel comfortable being out with people other than their close friends, including myself, nobody talked about it. Yeah. So I didn't have friends and like allies to grow with.
Yeah.
And I really focused a lot of energy on passing.
Yeah.
That was such a big focus of like my coming of age.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I have to appear straight because otherwise I'm going to be sort of like seen as this weirdo outcast kind of, you know. And I was chubby and I was awkward already and kind of nerdy. So like, it was, you know. But so because I was so focused on passing, the few gay people that I knew were gay men, that were a little bit more open and a little bit more flamboyant, I really, really looked down on them.
Yeah, you resented them probably.
Yeah, I did resent them totally, but I also kind of like, I wouldn't say I was like mean to them, but I was definitely unkind. And looking back at it, I really, really, really regret it. And I wish that I could go back and...
Of course.
You know, these are people who should have been friends, even if we're not going to be like buddies, at least be... allies.
Yeah, and definitely.
We're part of the same community.
Definitely.
And I made it clear that I did not want to be associated with these people because of the way they acted.
Mm.
It was shitty.
It's shitty, but it's high school.
And yeah.
All high schoolers are shitty. Most of them are.
Totally. But high school now is totally different because of an increase in representation. The way I acted, I think that the reason I acted the way I acted is the same reason that we have people like Ed Schrock. Throwback to episode one of Beyond Reproach. Gay, well, secretly gay, men who are gay in their private lives, but then in their public lives are actively working to harm the gay community.
Yeah.
And I think it has a lot to do with the same sort of mentality, the same reasons. It's sort of like a self-loathing kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, then a little bit later in the 90s, things slowly started to change. We had Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a big thing.
Yeah, massive.
And then there was Will and Grace. There was...
Sex and City. Well...
Yeah, I guess. But it's, again, back to that, the GBF.
Yeah.
There was the original Queer Eye.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hmm.
A lot of them, again, were sort of back to that, like, super flamboyant, one-dimensional kind of thing. But it was still... It was something.
It was something. It was positive.
Yeah. And then even later in the 90s and like beginning of the 2000s, we started seeing gay media for like made by gay people for gay people.
Yeah.
There were a few movies that were really big deals to me when I was a kid. My mom had the pay channels like HBO and Cinemax.
Mm-hmm.
And there were these two movies that would be looking back, it's offensive to me because they would only play them like late at night as if they were pornography.
Whoa.
But they were like silly romantic comedies, but because it was about gay people and like the whole thing was about gay people, they would only show it late at night. But there was a movie called Trick that was a gay male romantic comedy. And then there was a movie called But I'm a Cheerleader.
Oh, I didn't sort of know like, about this.
But I'm a Cheerleader is really fun. It's like about a bunch of teenagers that are sent by their families to like a gay conversion therapy camp.
Oh no.
But the people that run the camp are also gay, and it's just like, it's just the There's whole thing is silly and fun.
Cool.
Yeah. RuPaul is in it. RuPaul plays one of the leaders of the camp.
Damn.
It's okay. Amazing. It's so much fun.
Is it on Netflix?
Fun. I don't know. It might be hard to find because it's from, it's like old now.
Yeah. We're going to have to link to all these things that we've talked about in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because I want to see it now.
It's fun. Yeah. Yeah. Those two movies especially were a big deal, even though they were presented as this sort of like, this is naughty that you're watching this late at night. But now, fast forward 15, 20 years, everything is different. There are gay characters on every sitcom. Yeah. There's gay characters in soap operas for old ladies to watch. Now there's gay media for gay people on television. There's RuPaul's Drag Race. There's the new Queer Eye. Like, it's so different. And because of that, young people feel completely open, not only being gay, but also being gender fluid or transgender or whatever they want, because it shouldn't be such a big fucking deal. It's not that big of a deal.
No, it's not.
And they're seeing themselves represented in a way that I never did. So they're able to sort of navigate their lives in a completely different way that I can't even fully wrap my head around.
Yeah.
But it's amazing.
That they're just able to be themselves. Like, all the energy that you spent trying to be something that you're not.
Exactly.
Like, just imagine, just, it would free up so much energy in your life.
100%.
Wow.
The one thing that I wish that we would see more of going forward, because I do think that we've made huge strides, but there is a little bit of room to grow.
There's
still
always room to grow.
The one thing that I wish we would see more of is like just normal people that are gay. Like, we don't see like gay people that work at Walmart on TV.
Yeah.
We don't see nerds. We don't see.
Yeah. We're still getting there with like black people, black representation. Like, we're slowly getting into like blurs are a thing, like black nerds, like that culture has been a really big thing.
I've never heard that.
You never heard blurs? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so good. Childish Gambino. I loved his music because he's just being kind of a not hyper masculine black man, because usually you just have to be a stereotype. I mean, we've moved away from it in some ways, but that you could just be a black man who isn't, who respects women.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the horror.
Especially in music. That's not like a gangster or like, ugh.
Like, cause he was just looked upon.
Yourself.
Yeah. It's amazing. He has this song where he talks about people being the only black person at a Sufjan concert. That's like one of his. I know, right?
I love Sufjan's dance.
Yeah, he's just himself. He's allowed to be like the quirky black character in the shows that he produces and writes and stars in, but also he's just allowed to be himself, like an artist.
Imagine that.
We're getting there. Yeah. So you will get there as well.
It's just
I mean, it's baby steps.
Yeah. Ultimately, this is why representation is so important, especially for young people, because it's hard to navigate growing into a person. It's hard enough if you're a straight cis white person, but then throw in like just not feeling allowed to be yourself.
It's very crucial for young people, but also I think older people too.
Yeah,
like they're kind of seen as one thing.
Yeah.
I think the spectrum is widening for everyone.
Yeah,
slowly. And just size inclusivity is like a thing that I'm trying to work on.
Yeah,
I'm trying to. This is like a project that I've been doing for the last year. I threw away my scale, you guys.
Ooh.
Yeah, last February, and. It's really a long story. Long story short is that I'm just done dieting because shit doesn't work.
Because diets don't work.
And it's like,
generally they backfire and you end up gaining more than you lost.
And it's all just, it's to the capitalist aims, basically. Like they sell you a cure to something that is not a real condition. So I'm out and I've saved tons of money, you guys. I'm traveling a lot more.
Yeah. I feel like fat phobia is a thing that's like, just recently started to be addressed and larger people are finally being represented. There's that, what is it called? This Is Us.
But I've never seen it. Yeah. People talk about it a lot.
Suddenly starting to see, which that is a new phenomenon, that if you did see a fat person in a movie or on TV,
they were the butt of the joke.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're always negatively portrayed as lazy, like sloppy, never like chic or like on top of the world, like never living a good life, always dieting, always
like slovenly. If it was a man, generally they had like stains on their clothes or whatever. It's But now there's like She's All Fat is a great podcast to listen to. There's so many.
They're so good. So I'm on a media diet that includes like body and like ability. Diverse Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm trying to just filter this. It's good to see, but I'm realizing that I feel like everyone is fat phobic just because it's the culture.
It's built into just who we are as a society.
Yeah. And it's a little uncomfortable that I'm just like, oh, like I'm catching myself seeing some girl and seeing her roles and being like, oh, why am I doing this? Oh yeah, fuck this. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We all have roles. That's our organs. It's because we can't carry our organs in our hands.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh man. So yeah, representation is really important. And I'm glad that things are changing and people are seeing a wider spectrum of the world because that's more close to reality.
Yeah. So for our next minisode, we'd love to hear from you guys, obviously. You should know how this goes by now. You can write in with anything you want. Tell us, you know, your experiences with representation, that kind of thing. But we'd love to hear if, you know, do you agree that it's important that we see diversity and representation in the media? Do you disagree? If you do disagree, why? Why do you disagree? We'd love to hear your stories about the first time you felt like you were seeing something that you really identified with personally and how that made you feel, or did it make a positive impression?
It could be like a movies, or it could be music. It could be anything. Politicians.
Yeah. I mean,
like Shirley Chisholm.
Yeah.
Even though my mom was ragging on her hair, which is terrible.
Yeah. I mentioned.
She did so much. Yeah. You mentioned Ed Schrock.
Well, Ed Schrock is like obviously a negative representation, but now you're seeing there's Corey Johnson. There's Pete Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. Have you never said his name out loud?
I've said it. I don't. Nobody knows how to say it correctly.
I've only really.
I mean, very few people.
Okay.
I always hear Buttigieg.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I have never heard that.
Mm, well.
Okay.
It's good because I'm wrong apparently.
Oh, maybe.
Anyways.
Okay. Yeah. Moving on.
It's
I'm
good
sorry.
To see positive representation of like even politicians.
Yeah.
That are.
It's a new day.
Yeah.
It's long overdue, but we're here. We're here now. Finally.
I would love to hear like what you think we're not seeing enough of in the media. We mentioned a few things, but like Stephanie said, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah,
there's always
size, room diversity, to grow. People who aren't able-bodied, that would be nice to see like in a positive light, like a non-stereotypical someone who's able to live their own life, not needing help and all that.
Even that, you're starting little by little to see sitcoms about, I think we're finally getting to a point where like people are like, everyone is just a person and they just want to live their lives. Oh. We need to hear back from you guys by, you've got some time.
Yeah.
We need to hear back by January 11th at the latest so that we have time to record the following mini before it's released.
I would love to hear from people who are from like small religious groups, like the Amish or like Muslim people. I guess Muslim people is a small group. It's one of the largest.
Is it the largest? Something that I don't think we see really any of portrayed in a positive way.
Not here yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have shows in the UK that feature women in like hijabs and just living their lives, like working.
Yeah.
But I couldn't imagine seeing that here.
I feel like little tiny, little by little, I'm starting to see hijabs on commercials.
Oh,
like a woman of color wearing one in a commercial, but they're there for like 3 seconds. Okay. You know what I mean?
That's progress.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
This is how it starts.
Yeah. We cannot wait to hear what your thoughts are
on this.
This
is going to be a good one.
That's all we got to say.
Yeah.
We got these cocktails we got to finish. Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Tux Lerzel.
Stephanie Domingo.
Woo woo.
Over and out.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our
He's
editor.
He's like Thomas the Train.
Yes. He's the little
engine that could.
Remember the Brave Little Toaster cartoon movie?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Tim's our Brave Little Toaster.
Aw.
/ sound engineer and podfather and editor.
See, I was picturing more as Thomas the Train, but with Tim's face. Like, I could do that Photoshop.
That might be on our Instagram.
Tim the Train.
Coming soon. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important.
Yes.
If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It shouldn't matter what platform you leave a review on, but
it does matter.
It does.
Yeah.
Apple Podcasts is like 70% of
Absolutely,
people.
Absolutely, yes.
Doing this helps new people find our podcast and pushes us up into the search. So take a few seconds and do this if you can. Or you can send this episode to a friend or a family member or a mortal enemy.
That'll show them. Peace.
Oh. Thank you, guys.
Cool. Bye, y'all.
Over and out.